The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, welcome, everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. And I hope you want to give me a call. We have a few open lines. 877-207-2276. Now, we're trying something a little bit different today with the not the radio broadcast part of it, but the YouTube, Facebook thing. So, we've discovered something that the system we're using and how it works, that a lot of times some people who are going in aren't coming into the area that's live in a group. They're coming into single areas. It's a long story, but we're working on that. We're trying a new technique. And so if you want to check out the Facebook link, just give it like 1 minute, and they'll be up on the various pages that we use. Yeah, new stuff. There you go. And if you want to give me a call, please do. 877-207-2276. All right. Let's see what else we got. Talk about this, talk about that. We have a prayer ministry. If you're interested in praying for us, or being someone who could volunteer to pray, or you need prayer, all you have to do is contact us at prayer@carm.org. We would love to be able to, maybe utilize you. We got to check you out, though. You know, you got to make sure you're a Christian, go to good church, things like that, and willing to pray. And so we stay on the air by your donations. We stay on the air by your donations. And if you are so kind as to consider supporting us, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate and check it out, because we stay on the air here by your donations. We keep the website going and projects that we're working on, like a new project that it's really slow going, but the project I'm working on called 1 Minute Seminary. And I've pretty much got the intro, outro of the video stuff going. I've got the basic outline of all the topics that I want to talk about, and most of them, about 140. Oh, man, I got so much to do. And what we're going to be planning on doing is connecting with, I've got a friend here who knows sign language, and we're going to be trying to get sign, a little square, they have the square in the bottom right. We're going to be doing that, and so that we can release these. And I like doing things what I call quick and slick, just trying to get the information out, here's what it is, and get it taken care of. Like, what's the Trinity, what's the hypostatic union, what's the communicatio idiomatum, justification, sanctification, various topics, so that they'll be listed out, and all people have to do is just click on them, and they can listen. We're also going to be providing probably the text of the video as well, so that people can read along and they can take notes. With CrossLink, it's going to take a major work. It's going to be a major, major thing, and we're trying to get ready for that. But I'll tell you, basically, I'm the guy who's got to do all of it, and we need help. And people would say to me, "Yeah, Matt, you certainly need help," but they don't mean CARM help; they mean some other kind of help. So, okay, interesting. Cash App. I'll check that out. Oh. Thanks for reminding me. A few days ago, I recommended a book, which I still recommend, a book that I think is really important for us in these days, called Live Not by Lies by Dreher, D-R-E-H-E-R. And I keep forgetting to make a disclaimer about something in the book. The author, I think, is Eastern Orthodox and considers himself, or Eastern Orthodox plus Catholicism, to be Christian. And so I don't believe that they're Christian, of course, but there's a lot of incredibly good information in there. So that's just a caveat. Just you'll deal with that information and stuff like that. Just because people are in whacked religions and stuff doesn't mean they can't produce some very good information. And I'm going to tell you, there's some very good information in that book. All right. So if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877 207-2276, and we have nobody waiting right now, so please give me a call. Today I had an interview-ish kind of a thing with a couple of guys who were talking about annihilationism, and we went over a heresy, a very serious heresy that's inside of annihilationism. Now, annihilationism is the teaching that hellfire is not eternal, but that people are going to be annihilated, they're not going to exist anymore. And so, yeah, that producer, that all the sound is right, everything should be working. And so, yeah, you guys can hear me inside the room, just let me know, it should be working. Someone said no sound. So it's that view. Well, that view is not itself heretical. That view it's just not accurate, but it doesn't mean that people who believe it are not Christians. However, there is a view inside of annihilationism called physicalism or anthropological physicalism, and it is a heresy, because a damnable heresy, and I mean someone who holds to it, I can't call them a brother or sister in Christ. The reason is because it teaches that the human spirit, the human soul, ceases to exist when the physical body dies. Physicalism is a teaching, in the anthropological sense, is a teaching that the human being is comprised of a physical body, and that the soul or the spirit is generated out of the physical brain. So when the physical brain dies, the spirit dies as well and ceases to exist. And that's the problem. Because if that's the case, then that would mean that Jesus, who has two natures, stopped to exist as two natures upon his death, which would mean the human nature would cease, therefore Jesus ceased to exist. And you got to understand something, that Jesus, he is by necessity, what the definition of Jesus is, one person with two natures. If the human nature ceases to exist, then Jesus is no longer Jesus. And people have to understand this, that Jesus came into existence 2,000 years ago. What I mean by that is the hypostatic union, the place and the time where Jesus became, where he has two natures, the union of two natures, that occurred 2,000 years ago. The Word, the second person of the Trinity, is eternal, no problem, because he's God, second person. But he became incarnate in human flesh in the conception, and by definition, Jesus has two distinct natures, a divine nature and a human nature. So if you take away the human nature, it's no longer Jesus. And this is what some of the annihilationists are teaching, that in anthropological physicalism, that when the physical nature or the physical person dies, the human spirit ceases. This would then mean Jesus ceased to exist, period. And that's a damnable heresy. And the reason that it is because it would then deny the eternality of the person of Christ, and it would deny the resurrection, because it would mean, it would imply, that in order for Christ to be resurrected, a new physical human nature has to be created, and then that is what was resurrected. And then we have a problem of what's called continuity. And I won't get into too much of this right now, but it is a serious problem. It's a very serious problem, and I call all who hold to that to repentance. You need to repent of that false teaching, and it's a serious false teaching. So those who would hold to that, I cannot call them my brother and sister in Christ. That's not to say they couldn't be Christian and have just a faulty understanding, and they got to work through things. I understand that. I get that. But the problem is that they can't hold to that position. Okay, they can't do it. It's a faulty position. And we had a discussion on this for an hour and a half today. And there you go. Anyway, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Al from Georgia. Hey, Al, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Max. Look, my question is, Do you believe in amillennialism or pre-tribalism? Pre-trib. Because I believe in pre-trib, you know.
Pre-trib rapture? No, I don't believe in pre-trib rapture. I believe that we're going to go through it.
I believe it because the Bible teaches that that they're not appoint the church or the believers to wrath.
Yeah, but salvation. And the verse says, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says God doesn't appoint us to wrath, but salvation. So it's a contrast. So wrath is damnation, and you know, not wrath, but salvation. So it's not about the pre-tribulation wrath. It's a very commonly misused verse by pre-tribbers. They rip it right out of context. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that verse does not work.
Mm-hmm.
You got another one?
No, okay. I understand what you're saying. You're talking about eternal wrath, the lake of fire.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Not the judgment upon the earth, right? That's what you're saying, correct?
Right, it's not about a tribulation period of just 7 years or 3.5 years. That's not what it's talking about. But this is what it says. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not about the rapture. Mm-hmm. It's not about tribulation period.
So you believe in amillennialism?
Yeah, I'm amill.
You know, post-trib or amillennialism?
Yeah, I'm amill, post-trib. We're going to go through the tribulation period. And, you know, since Jesus says in Matthew 13:30, with the parable of the wheat and the tares, which I've gone over this so many times in the past few weeks, which is fine, but he says, allow both to go together till the end of the age. I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares. So the wicked are the first ones gathered at the return of Christ, not the good. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 13:30. And, as I usually add, that it, you know, when it says two men in the field, one is taken, one is left, the context is it's the wicked who are taken. And when I show this to people, or I tell them that, you know, people frown, their heads go sideways, they go, what? Never heard that. And I say, let's read. Let's just read what it says. I'd say, put your finger on Matthew 24:37 and Luke 17:26, or is it Matthew 24:36 and Luke 17:37? And because they're parallels. You know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and took them all away. That's Matthew 24. Luke 17 says, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So the ones who are eating and drinking and giving in marriage are the wicked, because that's what the parallel says. Mm-hmm. All right? And so when it says, you know, and the flood came and took them all away, that's who was taken. It was the wicked. Two men will be in the field. One is taken, one is left. It's the wicked who are taken. Every single time I've ever shown anybody this in years and years of doing this, every single time when you know, I'm in person, they've said, well, you're right. It's not about the rapture. Now, there's a question related to that. Hold on, get a break, buddy. But there's a question related to that we'll get to after the break. If you want to give me a call, folks, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Hey, give me a call. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. We have open lines. I want you to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Al, are you still there? Whoops. It helps if I hit the button. Yeah. Okay, buddy, you're still there. Good.
You said the believers stay and the wicked get taken away. Now, where's that? So, who are those coming back with the Lord when he says King of Kings and he's coming back to conquer the earth? Then those riding with him, white horses. Who are those then?
when is, I didn't quite understand you. You're saying, when do we come back?
Well,
with Christ?
If he says that the believers are not taken away, you said. So who are those coming back when Jesus comes and returning back to conquer the earth on the riding a white horse as King of Kings?
Well, let me clarify.
Those coming back with him.
Yeah, let me clarify. The rapture occurs.
Revelation 19.
Well, hold on. Let me clarify. The rapture occurs. The question you asked was about pre-trib. Is it pre-trib? And you went to 1 Thessalonians 5:9, which does not support it. And I want to make a point, and we'll address this other stuff. In Matthew 24, Luke 17, two men taken, one is left, one is taken. That's not about the rapture. It's about a judgment. And if you read the context of those chapters, it's clear. And it is. It's clear. And just going to compare Matthew 24 and Luke 17. My question is, or statement I want to make about this, which I think is really important. What is wrong with the pastors who are teaching this from those verses and can't get it right for years? That's a question I have. Now, I'm not saying the rapture does not happen. Yes, it does. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through chapter 5, verse 2. If they want to believe in pre-trib, okay, believe in pre-trib. But those verses don't have to do with the tribulation rapture. They have to do with something else. And again, I'm going to ask, what is going on with pastors out there who are using those sets of scriptures in Matthew 24, Luke 17 for years and have never seen what it really teaches? That's a concern. It tells me they're not doing their exegetical duty when it comes to reading these passages. And that's a serious problem. If they can't get that basic stuff right, what else are they getting wrong? And that's a concern I have. And I'm saying this because I want pastors and elders to look at the text of everything that they read and look at the context and ask, does it actually say what I think it says? And so, and I know a lot of times it will, but maybe sometimes it won't. And that's what we have to do by checking ourselves. And that's what I'm urging people to do. Okay, now, so who's going to come back with Christ? The Christians are going to come back with Christ. We go up into the air to meet him and return with him. And years ago, I read a commentary, talked about the word, about going up to meet him. And the word has been used to go out and meet a dignitary and immediately return with them. So that's one evidence there about that. But as it says in Matthew 13, verse 30, it says that, first allow the tares and the wheat to grow together, and the first ones gathered are the tares, which are the wicked. And then gather the wheat into the barn. Now, I certainly hope people aren't going to say there's two raptures. One at the beginning of the tribulation, one at the end of the tribulation, because it's just not true. And since the wicked had to be taken first, according to Jesus' own words in Matthew 24, 30 through 41, if he says that, then it has to be the case. Then it cannot be that the wicked that the pre-trib rapture occurs. It cannot be. There's no possible way that could be the case. Okay.
So you said they're taken away in judgment. So the believers who are still here, God will supernaturally protect them from the judgment on the earth?
Nope. He may some and may not others. Because people get this idea that it's the wrath of God on the earth and it's only for the wicked, and therefore the Christians will just be preserved through it or get out. You don't find that in Scripture. You just don't find that. What you do find is Matthew 24, the signs of Christ's return. He says, do you see all these things? Verse 2, not one stone will be left upon another. Talking about the temple. And they said in verse 3, well, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? That's significant. The end of the age. Most people don't study what this age and the age to come is, but this is the word that they ask. And Jesus says to it that no one mislead you, for many will come in my name and will mislead many. And you'll hear wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, and there'll be various things. They will deliver you over to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. People say, well, No, that can't be the coming tribulation period, because we're Americans. We don't have to suffer. it's pre-trib rapture. And he says, but Jesus says, Matthew 24:9, they will deliver you to tribulation. They will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Lawlessness is increased. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And that's the end of this tribulation. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a testimony to the nations. Then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever's on the housetop must not go down to get things out of this house. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. Woe to you who are pregnant. This is what the believers are going to go through. Now, the reason I'm focusing on this, and let me say something else. This is important. This is important. I believe that some more persecution, a severe persecution potentially here, is coming to America for the Christians. Things changed so much because of a stupid virus, and the government did so many things that are ridiculous. And they overstepped their boundaries. The left is gaining more and more power, and more assaults are on our freedoms and on our faith. In Canada, they're arresting pastors now who are having congregational meetings in buildings and out of buildings. Well, crud flows downhill. It's going to come down here. The same thing's going to happen. So I'm very concerned about it. I'm doing research on this, and I'm going to be writing about this. And I'm also going to be writing something, what to do during this period of time. How to form groups, to have communication things, to educate your children, and things like this. I believe it's coming. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying I'm reading the times. I'm seeing how it is coming. And so we have to be prepared. And I think, unfortunately, and I'm going to step on so many toes, but this is what I believe. The pre-trib rapture is cause people to become lackadaisical. That combined with this idea of narcissistic therapeutic Christianity, where you go to church and sing songs all about how God will bless you and how you can be helped. You know, we have these morons on TV, send $20 in your seed faith and you'll get blessed. It's all about the self. And it's not about, there are some songs that do this, you know, and some good pastors out there, but unfortunately there's too many where it's narcissism, where what can God do for me? How much money can I get? And I get out of the tribulation because of pre-trib rapture. This has caused the Christians, all this kind of stuff and more, caused the Christians to be weak and not standing up for righteousness. And we need to prepare to suffer. Hey, hold on, we got a break coming up, folks. We can open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, Al, you're back on the air.
I guess, sir, that verse you mentioned, that those who endure to the end, that means the Christian have to endure to his whole time of persecution of the church. So those who will not cave in and into the stint or fight against each other and would betray each other, those who endure through the whole tribulation period on the earth, those would be saved through it and out of it, right? God would send them out of it.
Right.
Right? Those who endure to
the end will be saved. And it's a tough one to interpret because it's in the context
you say
of
physically, not the soul part, but the physical part.
Right. Right. Correct. The Catholics and the cults use that verse, in particular Matthew 24:13, in order to say that you have to do good works to be saved. And that's part of the apostasy that's coming. But what's interesting is, unless this is what Jesus says in this pericope, in Matthew 24, in verse 22, Matthew 24:22, unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. No life, sarx in the Greek. So it looks like what it's talking about is physical deliverance. And I'm a pessimistic amillennialist. And what that means is, I believe that when God spoke to Adam in Genesis 2:17 and says, the day that you eat of the fruit, you will die. That combined with Romans 5:19, where it says, through Adam's sin, the many were made sinners. And that's what it says right there. That means all people in Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:22, Romans 5:18. I can go into the theology from the scriptures. But I believe that when God was saying this to Adam, he was saying it to mankind, because Adam represented mankind. And so my belief is that the wages of sin is death, that the world will bring itself to death. If those days had not been cut short, then no flesh would be saved. That's what the word sarx means, flesh. No flesh would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. And I believe Jesus is going to intervene, which is why he has to take the wicked out first. If he takes the Christians out, new heavens and new earth, because he's going to, it's a gigantic celestial, I told you so. And I'll be teaching on this on Thursday night. So, yeah.
I don't preach so on Thursday night, we're probably actually go to Karm.org to listen to it, or what?
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube, Karm YouTube, and probably on Facebook as well. I just teach here at the house. And, I let the group decide what I'll teach on the next week. So they agreed. They want me to teach on eschatology, so I'm going to go through that. I'm going to have handout paper and things like that for them to fill out, and we'll go through this stuff. We'll go through other things, I'm going to do that. It'll take about 2 hours, and then next week I'll be teaching on eternal security. That won't take as long. So that's how it is.
All right. Thank you. You opened my understanding now more better. Actually, I was taught by my pastors in the past, you know, pre-trib, and I spoke to other preachers in the radio, and they teach pre-trib, but the way you explained it, it makes more sense now to me.
Well, everybody's teaching pre-trib, and where is it? Where is it in Scripture? Where is it? When they give me the verses, I say, let's look at the context, and it just falls apart. And I do this regularly with people. Well, let's look at the context. You know, like 1 Thessalonians 5:9, you know. Look at what it says. It's not talking about, you know, he appointed us not to wrath but salvation. It's not talking about tribulation period. And when people use these verses like this, it is so bad exegetically. You know, what is going on? People don't realize something. I'm going to point something out. What I'm going to do is go to two verses. I'm going to do a little bit of theology, and then we'll get to the next caller. This is what it says in Romans 5:19. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And that's what Adam's sin, I'm going someplace with this. Through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Were made sinners is in what's called the aorist passive indicative. Aorist is past tense. Passive means the action is received by them. So, Adam's disobedience, Adam's sin, made the many. It's a phrase that Paul uses for everybody. Made them sinners. So this is because of Adam's work, we fell in him. This is original sin. That's the doctrine of original sin right there. When you go to Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted. It has been granted is also the aorist passive indicative. It means the same thing as it does in the Romans 5:19. It means that the action has occurred upon a person. So passive is someone, you know, someone slaps me. I receive the action. I didn't do it. I'm receiving it. That's what passive is. Aorist means past tense. So it happens in the past. It's an action we receive in the past. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And people say, no, God never wants us to suffer. Then why is it that has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe, but also to suffer? Christians don't hear the gospel of suffering. They don't hear what it means. They don't understand that Christ suffered, the apostles suffered. I'm not saying, hey, let's all get out there and see what we can do to suffer. I don't want to suffer. But we have to understand that Jesus says the righteous will be persecuted in this world. America is an anomaly in history. that because of the Christian principles woven into the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, which I recommend everyone read that Declaration of Independence. Because of that, we have enjoyed safety. But now that the unbelievers are ruling, we are not in a post-Christian society, but an anti-Christian society, and they are going to increase their hate on their hatred. They're going to take their hate speech, their hate actions, and they're going to take it out on us more and more and more. It's going to happen because this is what history teaches us the unbelievers do. It's coming to America, and because the Christian church hasn't stood up and said no and risked persecution and risks the suffering, because there are things greater than a good bank account. There are truths more important than having just health and wealth. There are truths and principles to follow of God's rule and God's economy the way God wants us to have. And sometimes suffering is a greater thing than prosperity, because it breaks us, it makes us, and it glorifies God. And I'm not saying I want that, you know, suffering. But it's something that happens in the Christian church and has happened for 2,000 years all over the world. And it's not going to stop until Christ comes back. And so he's appointed, he's granted that we suffer. That means it's something that has been by God in his ordination for Christians. And people, when I talk to them about this, they can't believe it, because that's not how I've been taught about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown who's standing at the door of your heart asking permission to come in and comfort you. And the Christian church has lost its strength as a whole, lost what it has. And because it's seeking comfort over the will of Christ, then it doesn't go out and carry out the Great Commission, go out into all the nations and make disciples of all nations. Instead of doing that, no, we go to churches that tell us that we're to be healthy and wealthy, and let's sing a bunch of songs that talk about comforting us. And that's what our Christianity is, and then we go out to a restaurant and get served. This is not how it's supposed to be, and I can tell you, as a Christian who's been fighting the good fight of the faith, for years, I've had death threats, I've been swatted, I've been followed in cars, I've had Satanists attack me, threaten to kill my family, we've had the FBI involved, we've had the police involved, the website's been attacked. I've got story after story after story. We've got hate mail that comes in, got people saying things and threats. This is what it means to stand up for righteousness. And this is what we have to face. And so I'm concerned for the Christian church here in America, because I see its weakness far more than I see its strength.
Yeah, because Jesus said, if you don't suffer with me, you cannot reign with me. So that's part of that comes hand in hand. In order to reign with him in the future. So you have to, that's part of the, I say it's kind of the, you have to, that's kind of the badge you have to carry as a soldier. You have to suffer with him in order to reign with him in the future.
No, I wouldn't agree. You got to show me the verse for that, okay? But because our suffering is not what makes us reign with him. It's being in Christ and his mediatorship and his high priestly sacrifice. But there is a place of reward for those who suffer for righteousness' sake, and that we are to be considered, to be thankful for that. There are many stories of people who have been imprisoned for their faith all over the world for centuries, and they talk about the incredible blessing that it was, because they get stripped down and then they have a faith with Christ that grows. That's where we're supposed to have our heart and our mind, in Christ, not in this world and our possessions. We got to go, buddy, okay? What a time, man.
Okay, thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless, Al. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Boy, that's a fast hour. Oh, you're like 15 minutes left. Let's get to Dylan from California. Dylan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. So my question is that does God really send babies to hell?
The Bible doesn't say he does or does not, so we can't say that he does. If he does, then that would be right. If he doesn't, It's because of his mercy and his grace. But we don't know. My position is that they go to heaven.
Why would it be right if he sent the babies to hell?
If it were, it would be because all of us are sinners, even little babies, who have a fallen nature. Because we're by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. So we could make the case that that would happen, but it doesn't mean that we're correct, because there are other verses where Jesus says, you know, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So it seems to be in other areas that they go to be with the Lord. And that's the position I hold to. Okay?
Well, that kind of sounds like evil, kind of.
Well,
kind of sounds evil to me.
No. Well, I could see why you would say that, but whatever God does is always right. If they go there, then it would be right. But we don't know if that is what happens. I'm just saying, logically speaking, if it happens, because it's the right thing to do. If they go to heaven, it's because it's the right thing to do. And God always does the right thing. So whatever happens is what's right. And so, you know, I affirm, or I believe, that the babies go to be with the Lord. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Hey, Dylan, how old are you, if I can ask? Just curious.
11.
11. Well, good. And, you know, keep listening. I'm hoping you keep listening, okay? All right?
Okay.
All right, good question. Do you have anything else you want to ask?
I want to ask if aliens are real, because I want them to be real, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, aliens, the UFO stuff, it's real. The question is, what are they? They are not from other planets. Okay?
Mm.
It just doesn't work that they're from other planets. And, you know, you're 11, and I don't know how much I can tell you that you'd understand, but life can't form by chance any place in the universe. It's just not going to happen.
I know, yeah, but I thought maybe God made, like, another planet with, aliens.
That's a possibility, because if life does exist someplace, it would have to be by God's hand. He doesn't say if they're out there or not. We don't know. And so we can't say it's true, we can't say it's false, because we don't know. But I do know that life can't form by itself. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the question is, what are these aliens? And they teach about Jesus, and they teach that he's not God, and they teach that reincarnation is true, and things like that. They teach things in contradiction to the Bible.
But then those aren't real aliens, because real aliens they could be like humans, but it's just that, why would they teach that reincarnation would be real?
I think that they have a demonic influence of some sort.
Mm.
That there's a connection there. And
does that mean the devil is allowed to create, like, these people who have demonic influence on another planet or something?
No, he can't create life. Only God can do that. And this gets into more topics, but there are lots of people who talk about this. There's a website called khouse.org, the letter K, H-O-U-S-E, .org,
mm-hmm.
And you can look up stuff on aliens there, and they have books, and there's documentation about a lot of stuff. There's real stuff that's happening, and I've been studying these things for decades. It's real. The question is, what is it?
Have Christians seen aliens?
Mm-hmm. Christians have seen stuff, but Christians don't get abducted. Only the unbelievers get abducted. And when they cry out to Jesus, the abduction ends right away. Yeah, there's a definite spiritual thing going on. Okay?
Well, wait. So, if there's demonic influence to aliens, is there Christian influence to aliens or?
Doesn't seem to be. It certainly does not. The evidence does not support that they're from God.
No aliens have influence of God.
It does not look like they are from God. In fact, the more and more people are learning how to contact aliens, and the methodology that they use is right out of the occult and seances and things like that. And
so, are they using witchcraft to connect to talk to aliens?
They don't. They're
that
more,
is horrible.
Well, some, it's not witchcraft, it's more like a New Age kind of meditation technique where they do various things and then wait for them to manifest, and it's starting to happen more. And so,
well, that's kind of allowing yourself to be like possessed, kind of.
Yeah, you got that right. At the very least, oppressed, and that's correct. So, yeah, this sounds, you know, it's, yeah, there's a lot there. I'm going to have to do some more. Yeah, maybe next year I'll do some more sections on that. Okay.
So does that mean Area 51 is full with atheists?
Atheists? I don't know. I might be atheists there and Christians there too. But technology has increased a great deal. And for fun, I suggest people study Nikola Tesla. He was an incredibly smart man who died in the 1950s, and some of the things that he invented, they're still trying to figure out. And there's lots of people who are really smart, who work on all kinds of stuff. And so they're probably in Area 51 and some other places. And there's some smart people out there.
I don't recognize that name, but is that that guy who made like a coral castle kind of thing in his backyard?
That's a different guy. That's a different guy, and they don't know how he was able to move the stones the way he did. Right, it's a mystery. But this is a different guy.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's a different guy. Nikola Tesla, he's just fascinating. He invented...
What did he create? Tesla?
Tesla, T-E-S-L-E, like the car. That's what they named it after. Okay. It's really interesting.
Oh.
So I'm just saying there's lots of smart people out there, and there's lots of inventions that are out there too. There's lots of stuff. Okay? There just is, because we're smart people, and we advance, and we're going to continue to do that. So it's fun. Okay? I wouldn't be surprised if the government has alien-type ability, spaceship kind of ability and stuff. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying they do. I wouldn't be surprised. You know? Maybe it's happening, maybe it's not. I don't know. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, nice talking to you, Dylan. God bless. All right. Okay.
Bye.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, Matt. Keep calling back. All right. Let's get on with Rich from Indiana. Rich, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. They've been since there is so many deficient and also said, like a Baptist, Catholic, Mormons, so on. People are leaving the faith because there's so many deficiencies.
Because they don't what?
So. There's so many divisions, that the Baptist, Catholic...
Oh, divisions.
Yeah.
Well, there are too many divisions. I think people are leaving the church because, and I could be wrong, just a theory, an idea, because the power of the Word of God is not being preached and taught, and that when it is infrequently taught... Christians want to go someplace where they're more comfortable. And when the persecution comes, the Christian church is going to be cleaned out, purified, and then strengthened. So I think so they're leaving because they don't have answers. Most pastors don't have answers to some of the difficult questions. And I'm not knocking them, you know, because being a pastor is a difficult job, and it takes a special kind of person to do it. But they need more and more apologetics, and they need to be able to weave these things into sermons, and they need to be even better trained because there's just more needs now, more attacks on the gospel.
I remember Gandhi, Muhammad Gandhi, he didn't want to be a Christian because there were so many divisions.
Right. He'd be a Christian if it wasn't for the Christians, yeah, or something like that. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So why can't the Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, why can't all divisions, why can't they just unite as one church?
That's a good question. I think it's a great question. I think they don't because they focus on the non-essentials over the essentials. And so they divide. So someone who believes in infant baptism can't join with someone who doesn't believe in infant baptism. Someone who believes in the charismatic gifts can't join with someone who doesn't believe in the charismatic gifts. Instead of Romans 14, which says to not pass judgment on debatable issues, then what they do is they divide. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants the Christian church divided and weakened. And that's what happens. Yep.
I do attend a messianic church.
You attend a church?
Yes, M-E-S-S-I-A-N-I-C.
Oh, messianic church. Okay, well, good. I hope it's a good one. Messianic churches, some are good and some are not so good. It just depends on what they focus on. If they focus more on the Old Testament than Jesus, that's a problem. If they say you have to keep the laws in order to please God, that would be bad. If they just like the messianic stuff and Jesus is the head and the lead in all of it, well, okay. So not a problem, as long as they don't deny the essentials of the faith.
Right.
Oh, there's the break. I mean, there's the end of the show, buddy. Call back again, okay, Rich? We gotta go, man. All right. All right, God bless. All right, God bless.
Bye.
Hey, Jonathan from Dallas. Sorry about that. Give me a call, because that's a good question you got there about demonic possession. Hey, folks, by God's grace, we're back on here tomorrow. Hopefully, we will talk to you then. God bless, everybody. See you. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.